Romantic beach scenes, danger around every corner, and a couple facing impossible odds. The film Monty and Rose is a thrilling love story for the ages.
Monty and Rose are exceptional, especially Rose. She laid 8 eggs.
Did I mention this is a film about birds? This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Like many Michigan grandparents, piping plovers have flown south for the winter. They're in Florida and Texas. But this endangered species makes its summer home along the Great Lakes shores, and birders in Michigan and other states impatiently await their return. And in Chicago, they wait for a sort of piping plover celebrity couple, Monty and Rose. This pair has many fans in the city, even memorabilia with their likeness, a beer named in their honor, and now a documentary film about their journey. That documentary, Monty and Rose 2, is screening at the Thunder Bay International Film Festival out of Alpena and is streaming from January 26th through February 6th. It is a tale of lover piping plovers. Or is that plovers?
Right. Yeah, this is a really important issue. So
That's Bob Dolgan. He's the filmmaker behind Monty and Rose and a birder from Chicago.
I have always said plover, and I grew up in Ohio and I'm a Midwesterner, and I think plover is the way to go. But I have a feeling that maybe people out east on the East Coast say plover. But then again, I've also asked people about this directly who are kind of in that Northeast New England area. And they're like, no, some people out here say plover too. So we're just going to have to, go with like a tomato kind of thing, I guess.
No help whatsoever. Okay. Well,
yeah, it could be either. The main thing is they're amazing birds.
let's talk a little bit about the piping plover. What do these birds look like for those who haven't seen them before? And can you tell us where we usually find them?
Sure, yeah. The piping plover is a bird that is somewhere between the size of a sparrow and a robin. It's the color of sand, as Roger Torrey Peterson once said. And they have a black ring, a single black ring around their neck or upper breast. And that distinguishes it from their relative, the killdeer, which is a larger bird that is a bit more common around our coastlines and airports and golf courses, and you see more frequently. But a piping plover is a very rare bird in the Great Lakes. There are only about 70 pairs remaining around the 5 Great Lakes, and they nest along beaches. They blend in beautifully with the sand and gravel, and they find what they need in the form of worms and invertebrates and other species, larvae, in the sands of the Great Lakes region. And they're an incredible bird. Unfortunately, they are federally endangered, but there have been a lot of efforts, thankfully, to protect them.
Right. In Michigan, that means that Silver Lake State Park closes dune buggy access to the beach and dunes when the piping plovers return. You're coming to us from your town in Chicago. What does protection of the plovers look like there?
Well, in Chicago, we have quite a different location than, say, Silver Lake even, but not all that different in other ways. So we have on Montrose Beach, which is the busiest beach in the city, we've set up an effort with some of the other wildlife organizations to protect the piping plovers, Monty and Rose, who nest there. And so that means a large volunteer effort. We have at least 2 people there during nesting season from dawn to dusk, informing the public about the plovers, looking out for predators. We thankfully also have some fenced areas where the plovers often are found. And they also have a nesting exclosure, which is a wire cage that goes over their nest to ostensibly protect the eggs there from predators. And so there are a lot of measures that have been taking place over the past 3 years to ensure Monty and Rose's success. And it takes the proverbial village, because there are a lot of people, literally thousands of people, on Montrose Beach in the middle of summer on the weekend. So we really need a lot of help to ensure the plovers' protection. But they chose to nest at Montrose Beach, and I think since they have long been on our Great Lakes shorelines well before European settlement anyway, that they deserve to have that beach protected for them.
I was astonished, although maybe I shouldn't have been, to see the degree to which the people who've been volunteering to help their species, how chummy they are with these birds. They're on a first name basis with Monty and Rose. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about how you met them and why they've become so popular among people who do follow birds in Chicagoland?
Yeah, it's become quite a phenomenon. And so it started in the most humble of circumstances on very kind of cold, blustery days in May of 2019 out at Montrose Beach on Lake Michigan. And there had been a couple of piping plovers sort of hanging around the beach, which wasn't altogether uncommon, but it was exciting. And people were pleased to see the plovers and sort of check them off their year list. However, I think what surprised everyone was when they started to show mating behavior, courtship behavior, scraping little nests in the sand. And that was just completely unforeseen. And so a group of people started to protect the birds, just sort of at first standing around those nests, you know, informing the public, any passersby, that there were piping plovers there and that, you know, that they needed to be careful. And it just sort of snowballed from there. You know, thankfully, a lot of people heard about the birds. And then we had a really surprising turn of events in that a music festival was announced for the beach in June of 2019. And that sort of propelled the birds to some fame.
To party or not to party? That is the question facing several groups near the lakefront on the city's north side. Promoters are planning a big music festival on Montrose Beach called Mambi on the Beach.
And it ended up, I think, helping draw a lot of volunteers out. Just people who heard about the birds, some people who wouldn't consider themselves birders, but wanted to do something to help out. And those numbers grew. Eventually we had 200 people volunteer that first year and about the same number in subsequent years. And so it took on a life of its own. I think, you know, the fact that they are so endangered and just hadn't been seen nesting in Illinois since 1948, or excuse me, in Chicago since 1948, I think it just blew everybody's mind. And they're also just incredibly engaging birds. They're very cute. They're dapper little birds.
I think the phrase you're looking for is ridiculously cute. They have these chubby, feathery yeah. little bodies, and I mean, they're made for film.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so I think they're really interesting to watch. And so like you just they have a lot of interesting behaviors that, you know, even me, I've been birding almost my whole life and I'd never observed piping plovers nesting up close. And so they do a lot of things. They defend their nests from other birds, from, you know, from any potential predators. They'll chase humans out of their nesting area. They'll chase gulls, they'll chase mallard ducks, great blue herons, you name it. They do things like the broken wing display to distract the predators from their nest or their young. And people almost do have like a connection with them akin to maybe a pet or a domestic animal, which is really unusual for a wild bird. And, you know, we're able to get fairly close to them. I mean, sometimes it feels like they kind of come up to you on the first weekend of the year and say hi. They practically greet us when we walk out there, especially when it's someone they trust.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more Monty, Rose, and Bob Dolgan in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
So you mentioned the humans, just humans walking around may pose a threat to their nesting. When we say they nest on the beach, we mean they nest on the beach in the sand. So right. You might, you know, if you didn't know otherwise, you might just walk right over their eggs, maybe in a hazardous way without even knowing it. And then there are seagulls, like you say, and other predators. Can you tell us about any other things that have moved in on the plover's turf, or other things that have made it difficult for them to proliferate in the lake beaches that they normally would?
Well, Chicago is a great example of this in that Monty and Rose's first nest on Montrose Beach in June of 2019 was washed out by rising waters. A big storm blew in off of Lake Michigan from the north and inundated their nest. Thankfully, their eggs were recovered and rescued. However, they were taken to an incubator, however, none hatched. And subsequently, they did have a successful nest that year. But I think it was a great sort of example of the challenges that birds face around the lakes. You know, you can say that has to do with climate change. You know, rising waters, when they nest too close to the waterline, can be a huge threat. So that's one of the challenges. The predators are a challenge. And typically the wire exclosures, these kind of cages that go over the nests, they've been just great at helping to increase piping plover populations over the past 30 years or so. But we had a really unfortunate incident here last year where a skunk somehow reached into the exclosure and got access to the four eggs that Monty and Rose had laid.
No. So
we lost that nest on about June 10th, and they had, you know, thankfully the birds went right back to scraping nests and courting again, and within a week had, you know, Rose had started laying eggs again, which was incredible. And they did get two birds to fledging last year. So there are any number of hazards throughout the year. And one other one that I'll point out, because it's been sort of a constant theme at Montrose Beach, have been dogs, especially off-leash dogs that disrupt a lot of shorebirds, unfortunately. And that just places a stress on those birds. And of course, a nesting piping plover could be, unfortunately, at harm. You just never know if a piping plover is flushed up into the air and a peregrine falcon might be sitting on one of the light towers at Montrose. You know, there are just a lot of threats. And so you can see why the population of piping plovers on the Great Lakes has dwindled through the years, but also why so many recovery efforts are needed.
Do we know how many offspring Monty and Rose have had over the years?
Yes, we do. So they have had, they had one chick in Waukegan in 2018, and that made it to fledging. 2019, two plus three in 2020, and two more in 2021. So eight total over the years. And so one of them has become quite famous on his own, and that is Nish. Each of the plover offspring, at least the past 2 years, have been given names that are relevant to Chicago history. And Nish is named for an indigenous term that local native peoples utilized previously. And so Nish is now nesting in Ohio and became the first part of the first piping plover pair to nest in Ohio on Western Lake Erie last year. And those birds went on to have four birds hatch on their own. And so it just has been a kind of cascading effect that Monty and Rose have had. And actually they're helping to replenish the numbers of Great Lakes piping plovers, which is really exciting and not something I don't think we could have anticipated happening here in Chicago.
Given how few mating pairs there are in the wild right now, what do you think is a realistic goal that we should think about when we do think about helping the species?
Well, the numbers were all the way down to about a dozen pairs in 1990 on the Great Lakes, and they rebounded with a few fluctuations up to 74 pairs, I believe it was, last year. And so there's been a stated goal from the Great Lakes Piping Plover Recovery Project and from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service of getting to 150 pairs by 2050. And so it'll take a lot to get there, but there's also a captive recovery effort in which eggs are brought to an incubator and then hatched, and chicks are reared to fledging in captivity, that has helped to replenish numbers, as well as those wire exclosures over nests and a lot of other measures that have been taken, as well as the efforts of wildlife officials and volunteers. And so I actually believe there might be a chance to reach that goal. Having seen what's happened with Monty and Rose, having seen now Nish and his mate Nelly in Ohio, you know, there isn't a reason not to think that it couldn't happen. I do believe when people are more aware of piping plovers, whether birders or non-birders alike, I think that there's a like greater likelihood that the birds will have success. You know, maybe I'm just optimistic, but I like to think that this is a success story that people can get into and can have an impact. Because if you're at your local beach and are paying attention to your surroundings and take the measures that protect shorebirds, there might be a greater likelihood that piping plovers will nest on that beach.
If you are ready to take in the epic story of these two fated lovers, you'll want to head toward the Thunder Bay International Virtual Film Festival website. That's where you'll be able to see Monty and Rose 2, The World of Monty and Rose. That's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find more from Stateside streaming at michiganradio.org. Today's pod episode was produced by April Van Buren. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, and Claire Morishima. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis, friend to birds everywhere. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.